or this afternoon. But I was talking to a young man in Kalamazoo this morning, and I asked him about the news. I said, did you happen to catch this news story about the storms that are in the Midwest, the gigantic area that's being hit with storms and the severe storms that are expected there? And his answer was, I don't watch the news. And I thought, well, I understand that, because when we watch the news, when we turn it on, it's so negative. There's nothing good that we hear about in the news anymore. We hear about all the tragedies, all the corruption, all everything going on, all the politics that are so deceptive that we don't know what's the truth about any particular candidate, because things are so tilted. But we hear more and more of the negative, and how this world is becoming to find itself in a crisis situation in just about everything. So we look to God, and we see that happening too. As we turn, channel surf and find different religious groups preaching on television, and more than I've ever heard before, are talking about Passover, talking about unleavened bread, talking about the Jews, talking about Israel, because they watch the news. They read about the news. They know what's going on. They know that the Middle East is in trouble. They know that a crisis is on the horizon, and that the support that America has always given for Israel may be in question. And so they're looking more, because they see this as something that's happening in the end time. So they focus on Israel. They focus on the Middle East. They talk about Passover and the days of unleavened bread, but they stop short then. They dance around what it's all about. They dance around the Ten Commandments. They won't admit that God's law is in effect. They won't say that we need to keep the Ten Commandments, that we need to obey them, that that's God's law, and it's still in effect, that Jesus Christ didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. Because they know when they say that, they will be preaching to an empty house, because the world believes that the Ten Commandments are no longer to be kept. That's what they believe, because that's what Satan has deceived this world into thinking. Let's turn to Matthew 22, if you would. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And in verse 37. It says, Jesus said to him, he was answering a question that was asked of him, and it said, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. That was the answer Jesus gave when he was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And then in verse 38, he went on to say, this is the first and great commandment. And in verse 39, he said, and the second, there's a second commandment that is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So people feel that Jesus Christ was saying, these are the only two commandments you have to keep. The Ten Commandments are no longer to be kept. They're done away with. They're old-fashioned. We've moved on. The Ten Commandments are something that my father gave Israel. But now I'm here in charge and I'm going to change things. We'll do it a little easier. We'll make life a little easier. That's the way some people see this. That's what they read into this, that Jesus Christ made a change. That's the title of my message today, The Greatest Commandment. And by answering the question in the way he did, people can come to that conclusion. They can think that Christ replaced the Ten Commandments with just these two. And this lawyer was a Pharisee. And when it came to keeping the law, They were very proud and meticulous about how they avoided at all costs breaking even one of the commandments. They were very mindful of that. They knew the Ten Commandments inside and out, backwards and forwards. They also knew all of the other laws, the 613 laws. They knew them by heart. But over time, the Pharisees lost sight of what was most important. They lost sight of the love that we should have for God. They lost sight that that love should be in our heart, in our soul, in our mind. And not having that love for God, only having an outwardly physical observance, because it was all about how they looked. Do I look religious? Do I sound religious? Am I putting on a good show here for you so you will think that I am religious? Because I know the law. I can quote it to you. And I observe it all. I keep it all. So I'm very spiritual. I'm very religious. That's how they wanted to appear. But without that love, that inner love for God and that commitment, what they have just becomes a waste of time. And they're empty of any deep spiritual understanding because it's all about them. It's all about how they appear. What do people think of them? They feel that they're better, wiser than anyone else. This young man, this young lawyer, because he was schooled in the law of Moses, thought he knew more than Jesus Christ knew and thought he could put him on the spot by asking that question. And even today, there are those who do their best to keep the commandments, but they keep them so God won't punish them. That's their motivation, fear. If I do this, God will leave me alone. If I keep his commandments, if I obey them, God won't punish me. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And that's not the motivation God wants us to have. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 5. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" God gets our attention from time to time. But we shouldn't keep God's law. We shouldn't keep the Ten Commandments because we're afraid that God's going to punish us if we don't. We should keep the Ten Commandments because we love God. We want to please him. We want to do what he says. We want to obey him. That should be our motivation. A slave obeys their master. But they certainly don't do it out of love. They do it because if they don't obey, they'll get punished. That's their motivation. They don't want to be punished. And that's not the way God works. Others make an effort to keep the commandments because they believe God will bless them. And God certainly does pour out his blessings. But again, that shouldn't be our motivation for keeping the commandments of God. Are they only keeping the commandments to receive something in return? God, I'll do this if you do this for me. We can't bargain with God. We can't deal with God on that level. Again, we should want to keep the Ten Commandments. We should want to obey God out of love. And if we truly love God with all of our heart and soul, we will desire to keep the commandments because we want to please our Heavenly Father, our Creator. We want to do what he asks us to do because it's for our own good. In Matthew 23, Jesus Christ explains why it's so important that our love for God comes from our hearts. Let's turn there, Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 25. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." We can appear to be pure. We can appear to be religious on the outside. We can appear to be anything we want to appear to be. But it's what's on the inside is what God's looking at. That's what's important. And in verse 27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness." We can go into any cemetery and find monuments that are beautiful, that are beautiful. When we went to my sister-in-law's funeral, just over from where she was being buried, I don't know, some of you may remember the song "Smoking in the Boys' Room." Not smoking, but smoking in the boys' room. And the author of that song was buried just over from where my sister-in-law was being buried. And the reason I knew that, because his headstone or monument was shaped like an amplifier on one end, and then on top was a slab of granite with a guitar carved out in it. And then on the other end was a piece of granite with a record carved out in it. And it had listed all of the things that he had done, all of the songs he had written, and everything else. But a nice, nice monument. But underneath that in the ground was nothing but bones. That's all that was there. And that's not how we should be, or that's not how God wants us to be. Looking good on the outside and nothing but waste on the inside. God wants us to obey Him and keep the commandments inside and out, to be pure inside and out. Because the inside cup that they're talking about here represents our character. Our character. That's what's important. And sometimes those who most loudly protest the sins of others are secretly guilty of those or worse sins themselves. Christ said, "Love for God is the first and greatest commandment." That's what he told this young man. Let's go back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And we'll read this again because it's so important to understand these are the Ten Commandments that Jesus Christ is talking about. Because all of these things comprise the Ten Commandments. All of these things that he's saying. Matthew 22 and in verse 37. Jesus said to him, this was his answer, "You shall love the Lord God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Summing up the first four commandments with that statement, with that answer, that we direct our love toward God. And that's what the first four commandments cover. It's the first and great commandment because it's the heartbeat. It's the foundation of all Ten Commandments. Let's turn to John chapter 14, another place we can look at here. John chapter 14. John, book of John, chapter 14. And again, this all is based on love, our love for God. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We can all understand that. We can all understand what's being said here. And these are the very words spoken from the mouth of God. Obeying someone doesn't mean that we'll someday love that person. When a slave obeys their master doesn't mean that one day they're going to grow to love their master. But if they love their master, they're going to obey. If we love God, we're going to obey automatically because of that love, because of that desire to please Him, to do whatever it takes to make him happy, to make him pleased with us because of his love for us. The stronger our relationship is with God, the more we will love him. The more we will love him, the more joy we will have in obeying and serving him. And if we truly love God, we will want to keep all of his commandments, including the ones Jesus Christ talked about here as he put the commandments all together in these two statements. So if we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, does that change anything? Does that make it okay then? We don't need to keep the commandments because we love God. Does that put an end to the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses? And the answer to that question should be very clear to all of us. We know better because that's not what Scripture says. Satan will confuse and lie and deceive people into thinking that Jesus did away with the Ten Commandments because they're so important to God's people. They're so important to God's creation because they're the foundation of our happiness. And they're given to us in love for our benefit. God certainly didn't give us the Ten Commandments to punish us. He gave us the Ten Commandments so that we could live a joyful life, a happy life, a life being safe, being protected, loving one another, helping one another, caring for one another. That's all the Ten Commandments do. They certainly aren't bad. They certainly aren't a burden. But that's what they were given to us for. But this is a source of explaining why we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. People use these scriptures in Matthew 22. We don't have to. The commandments are done away with. And that means we don't have to keep the Sabbath. Well, if all of the Ten Commandments are done away with, then why is it wrong for us to shoot somebody or to rob somebody or to steal whatever we want? Because if one commandment's done away with, they're all done away with. And we know that they're not done away with, and that's absolutely not what Jesus Christ was talking about. But Satan knows how important the commandments, and including the Sabbath, he knows how important that is in our relationship with God. He knows how important that is in our education to understand God's word and God's plan for us. But he causes confusion, deception, because of how important this is. Because if we can believe that the Ten Commandments are done away with, the law of God is done away with, then we're wasting our time here today. We're wasting our time thinking about God. What's the point? If there's no law, we can't break it. We can't break a law that doesn't exist. We can't honor God by keeping commandments that don't exist. But say again, Satan knows how important God's Ten Commandments are. And if he can confuse people and get them to think that the law is done away with and it's no big deal, that's what he'll do. But we know that Jesus Christ wasn't saying that. We know that he wasn't saying that the commandments were done away with. We know that he was making a point that, yes, they are, and they're still important, and they still need to be kept. And this is why they're so important, because they show the love of God toward us, and if we keep them and obey God, they show our love to God. But as we read in the scripture, it appears that this young man was trying to outsmart Jesus. He thought because he was educated in the law of Moses that he was more knowledgeable. That's the way the world is today. They don't like the God that the Bible talks about. They don't like the Savior that the Bible talks about, so they create their own. I'll create one that does things my way. I'll create one that my misunderstandings or my deceptions still work. So the world does that. Without a doubt, the Pharisees were delighted in verse 34 when Jesus Christ confronted the Sadducees. Let's turn back there. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. You know, the Sadducees were their theological rivals. And they were getting a little kick out of seeing Christ basically muzzle them, shut them up. But they weren't happy. They were still intent on trying to make a fool out of Jesus Christ. In some way, they were going to try to do that. So they were trying to trip him up with this question: which is the greatest commandment? Let's read verse 35 again, because these scriptures here are so important to know that we know that we know the Ten Commandments are still God's law, still today. They haven't been done away with. Verse 35, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Again, testing him, trying to trip him up. Not asking him because he wanted to learn, but he wanted to find out something from Christ that he didn't know. He was playing a game. Again, looking good on the outside, but not too good on the inside with this attitude. But asking him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You will honor those commandments. And this covers the first four of the commandments. And this young man knew that. He knew because he understood Scripture. He had studied it. He was a student of Scripture. So he knew. But again, maybe he was a little vain. Maybe he just thought he was smarter than he actually was. But in verse 37, it says, Jesus said to him, and I just read that, and Jesus answered his question. He answered it, and Jesus Christ knew what he was saying when he answered that question. He could have said, you know, let's go ahead and I'll recite the Ten Commandments to you, because they're all important. One, every one is as important as the other one. All ten. That's why God gave Ten Commandments. He didn't give a commandment that wasn't important, that didn't have a lot of meaning for us, that wasn't good for us. And in verse 38, he says, this is the first and great commandment. And then in 39, and the second is like it, just as important. Because if we love God, we're going to love our fellow man. We're going to learn how to do that. We're going to pay attention to the Word of God and see how important it is to love our neighbor. But this command is also mentioned in Leviticus 19, the same command. And it's not a command telling people to love themselves. It's a command to tell people to treat others as they want to be treated. We only want the best for us. We want the best for us, and that's what God wants us to want for our neighbor. God wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And in verse 40, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Included in these two commandments that Jesus Christ stated here include all the law, including all the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments can be divided into two categories, those dealing with the love for God and those dealing with our responsibilities toward other people, our love for our fellow man. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did here. And since the first four commandments relate to loving God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, it's clear they're about our duty to love God. And if that's true, why do so many people refuse to honor and keep the fourth commandment? Why do people refuse to keep the Sabbath day? They say it's not to be kept anymore. It's not a law anymore. But it is. Keeping the Sabbath defines our love toward God just as much as the other three do. And remember in Matthew 22 and verse 40, Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law. He didn't say hang nine of the laws, nine of the commandments, or eight of the commandments. He said, hang all the law. We have to believe Jesus Christ. He knew what he was talking about. But let's look back in the book of Deuteronomy to see where the same words were spoken by Moses that Jesus Christ spoke when he answered this young man. The same words. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to first here, it says, the heading here says, the Ten Commandments Reviewed. Now, the Ten Commandments were given again to Israel, to Moses. And let's read through this. And it says, and in verse 1, it says, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. Remember, they said, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to. We're afraid. You be our spokesman. You represent us to God. It goes on here and said, he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. And that's another commandment that people don't feel they have to keep at all because they create their own gods. They create statues. They create idols to worship. And very clearly it says not to do that. God says not to do that. And in verse 10, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any other of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You know, here was an opportunity for God to change that. He wanted to, and it wasn't changed. It was the same thing. The same thing was said the second time around. Keep the Sabbath day. And in verse 16, honor your father and your mother and the Lord your God, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain in the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more the Ten Commandments. Nothing was added. Nothing was taken away. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone and gave them to me. Again, the Ten Commandments to be kept as a law, to honor God, to love God. Deuteronomy 6. We go over here to Deuteronomy 6. And this is shortly after the Ten Commandments were reviewed, that Moses went over those. But in Deuteronomy 6:1, it says, now this is the commandment And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, the promised land, the new land that I'm giving you, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The same words that Jesus Christ spoke. The same answer that he gave this young man. Summing up the commandments. Summing up God's law. And the lawyer, this young man, being schooled in the law of Moses, knew exactly what Jesus Christ was saying, knew what he was talking about. But in Deuteronomy 6, that follows very closely behind Moses reviewing the Ten Commandments with Israel. So there should be no doubt what's being talked about here, that Moses was saying to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, keeping God's commandments. But let's notice again what was written in the Old Testament. So there's no doubt the Ten Commandments are summed up in these verses. In Deuteronomy 6:5, we just read that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Covering the first four commandments. And let's look at Leviticus. Let's look back at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and in verse 18. More instruction here. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Again, the second commandment that Jesus Christ talked about. The instruction that God gives to his people, to us. All Ten Commandments remain totally unchanged today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and in verse 17. Jesus Christ promised that it wouldn't change. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 17. Says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Nothing's going to change. The Ten Commandments are still to be kept. They're not done away with. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John and chapter 4. 1 John and chapter 4. It's talking about our love, our obedience to God. It says in chapter 19, we love him because he first loved us. God has given us everything we have. He's given us our very life because of the love that he has for us. In the verse 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Again, tying those two together, the love for God, the love for our fellow man. They go together. They sum up the Ten Commandments. They sum up the law of God. They sum up exactly what Jesus Christ said in his answer. We can also find other words written in other places in our Bible about the Ten Commandments. Let's turn to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. Romans 13, 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, do you see the commandments that are listed there? Those are the commandments that Jesus covered in the second great commandment. All of these point to loving our neighbor, obeying God's law by caring, having concern, not having any thoughts of hurting or harming our neighbor, but doing only good to help and to appreciate them. And if we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves and care for others when they are in need, and that includes the widow and the orphan, the prisoner, the homeless, the hungry, the sick, we're keeping the last six commandments. We're obeying God's law. And Jesus Christ gave us some very valuable instruction. And we could all learn from it. We've read these scriptures many, many times. But we need to understand these scriptures show us by their content that the commandments of God are to be kept. They're a law. They're a law that we've been given for our benefit. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning in verse 31. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. You know, those were all directed to him. He says, I had these needs, and you took care of them. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you. And this is important because, again, it ties God and his creation together. It ties God and our neighbor together. How we treat God, how we treat our neighbor. Honoring and loving God and honoring and loving our neighbor. And then he will also... And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for me. I was trying to find out where I left off. 43? 40. Okay. Thank you. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You loved your neighbor. You took care. You handled the needs of your neighbor. If you did that, you did the same for me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So we're tied so closely together with our love for God and our love for our fellow man. It's so important to God, to Jesus Christ, that we honor him, love him, obey him, and do the same for our neighbor. Love our neighbor. Take care of our neighbor. Look to see what we can do to be of help. Not always looking at what's the best for us, but looking to see what we can do for one another. And this really brings the Ten Commandments to life, these scriptures, because it's something that we do, driven by the love that we have for God and the love that we have for our fellow man. If we first love, serve, and honor and obey God, we will grow in our understanding and how to serve and honor our neighbors. Why anyone would want to do away with the Ten Commandments doesn't make any sense. There's no reason. They certainly aren't anything that would hurt us. All the Ten Commandments do is give us a guideline to a good, happy, wonderful life. Think of the world and what the world would be like if people kept the Ten Commandments. What would be going on out there today? Well, first of all, everybody would be coming together on God's holy Sabbath. But no crime, no adultery, no murders. Everybody taking care of everybody else because we kept God's law, because we kept his commandments, because we love God. One day when Jesus Christ returns, the world will learn how to love God and learn and understand and learn that God only has love to give them. He wants the best for his creation, for all of us. We're beginning to understand that as God has opened our mind and shown us what the scriptures really say, helping us to understand how valuable, how important, how needed the Ten Commandments are. So when someone says that they're done away with and we don't have to keep them, it makes absolutely no sense at all. Why would you not want to keep them? Well, the reason the world doesn't want to keep it is because Satan has deceived them into taking something that's so helpful and given to us through love and turning it around to make it a burden that we don't want to keep. It's too tough. We just can't do it. So we just do away with them. We write them off. Well, we can do that, but God certainly didn't. So the Ten Commandments are still in effect today, and Jesus Christ certainly didn't do away with them. He magnified the Ten Commandments. He made a point with the Ten Commandments. He made a point with his answer. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what it's all about. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. That's the law of God. And God has given us that in love. So we can never forget that God's law, the Ten Commandments, is based on and given to us because of God's love.